Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and our thoughts turn to preparation. The Gospel reading is set in the desert. John the Baptist delivers his message in this harsh, unforgiving environment. Last Sunday, David Attenborough's Planet Earth 2 was about deserts. The viewer was left in no doubt about the harshness and difficulty it is to survive in those conditions. Filming brought the reality into the living room as you watched the huge paws of a pride of lions sink into the scorching hot sand, and temperatures reached up to 120 degrees Fahrenheit and plus. And the pride of lions had gone 3 days and travelled 100 miles without a kill. So they were very, very hungry. The lions, desperate for food, but with no element of surprise in the desert, they had to chase their prey and hope they caught it. The pride had to prepare very well and decide how they were going to catch their prey. They had to plan and work out together, because if the hunt failed, then they expended a vast amount of energy and they were still hungry. The desert is a harsh place. And it's in this environment that John is preaching his message of repentance and preparation that the kingdom of God is near. We're also told that he wore clothes of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Mark's Gospel also mentions the clothing John wore and the food he ate. And so the writers of the Gospels obviously felt that his appearance was significant to document for future generations to know about. It's also a referral back to the Old Testament prophets. This description provides the picture of a man not conforming to the conventions of his time, of a man who by society's standards is a bit strange. And yet the people flocked to hear him. What would society's reaction be if a man wearing strange clothes, preaching a message of repentance to be prepared for the coming of God's kingdom in our parks and street corners today? Would people listen to the message, or would they think he's just a bit odd and not worth paying attention to what is being preached? This was not the case with John. He was drawing the crowds. His message resonated with the Jewish people of the time. This fiery preacher was no ordinary prophet. John was a prophet of great importance. He was the one who was chosen to prepare the path for Jesus himself to walk. He was the one who had the honour of baptising Jesus and hearing God the Father speak and see the Spirit descend as a dove. He was the one who connected the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Jewish people were waiting for the coming of a Messiah, and John's message referred back to the prophet Isaiah. And we read in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The Jewish people would be familiar with this passage because they were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. They were looking for a deliverer to make things right in their country. They were a people whose land was occupied by an oppressive foreign government, and they longed for freedom. But there was more than that. The people's relationship with God had grown cold. They needed to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. There needs to be preparation. The people need to be prepared for the coming of the kingdom. We need to be prepared. How do we prepare? How do we get ourselves ready for the coming of the kingdom of God? I was reading John Ortberg's book, The Me I Want to Be, and within the first few pages, I was struck by how much the word spoke to me. He was talking about failure to thrive, a term common to me as a health visitor. This phrase is used to describe an infant who is not growing as fast as we would expect. They're not thriving in the eyes of the health professionals. John Ortberg speaks of major health problems, mental health problems in our day. It's not depression or anxiety, at least not on a clinical scale, but it's languishing. Languishing, a failure to thrive. A person who is languishing is able to function, but has lost their sense of hope and meaning. The absence of mental and emotional vitality. Everyone has dreams, but over time they give up on their dreams. There needs to be preparation to bring them back, to put the hope back in their lives. As John the Baptist cries out in the wilderness over 2,000 years ago for the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, he wanted to bring the people back from their languishing, from their state of failure to thrive. He was telling them that the kingdom of God was at hand and they needed to be ready. They needed to prepare. For the dream of the Messiah was here. Jesus' ministry was about to begin. Today we need to prepare, to be ready. And to do that, we first need to be put right with God. In John the Baptist's words, repent, repent. As a child, this word would scare me as I associated it with fire and brimstone spouted forth from a primary school teacher at school. Change days now, when teachers can hardly say anything about religion, far less terrify their young pupils. Today, however, I see repentance as a need to take a look at my life, delve deep inside, be honest with myself, however difficult that might be, in order that I can be honest before God. Yes, it probably is still a scary word, but in a different way. This time of preparing, of looking back, looking at our lives, revealing our weaknesses and the frailty of humanity, and it calls us not to be reliant on trusting in ourselves, but to put our trust in God, receiving God's grace and forgiveness. John called for repentance. He wanted real repentance from those before him, which meant a complete change of heart and life. John was not toning down his message or mincing his words. He was hard-hitting, especially with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He called them vipers, poisonous snakes. And before he would change his mind about them, he would need to see them behave differently. Going through the motions of baptism wasn't enough. They needed to show real repentance. He proclaimed the word of God, and then he cleansed those who came to him through baptism in the River Jordan. He is preparing the crowds for the coming of Jesus. The River Jordan was special to the Jewish people, as their ancestors would have crossed it to get to the Promised Land. And it's fitting today that in the 11 o'clock service is a service of baptism, bringing us into the atmosphere and symbolism of the banks of the Jordan. Being part of the sacrament of baptism is special. It is a time when we can gather together as a congregation representing the church and renewing our commitment to God, receiving God's grace and forgiveness, and to share with God's children the knowledge and love of Christ. I'd like to read a poem called Knowing God by M.S. Lowndes. To know the love of God is what we truly long for. Deep in the inmost heart, we long to know God the Lord. We should never want to settle for only an acquaintance without any real depth of knowing his holy presence. for God longs to be much more than just a familiar face, but rather someone more intimate, full of infinite grace. To know God more intimately, we need to give ourselves and open our hearts to his love, making him Saviour as well. For we could never know the Lord without letting him inside, becoming truly one with him as we put our trust in Christ. Part of this Advent season is about a time of preparation, a time to look at our relationship with God, recognising what Christ did for us on the cross and being ready for when he will come again. Amen.